Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
This program is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries, Post Office Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. I'm your host today, Brian Wilkie of St. Andrew's Christian Church in Rockland, and as always, I want to start by thanking you, our listeners. It's your encouragement and support that helps us in so many ways. Today, we want to acknowledge Alice and Clifford Miller, who've sponsored today's program, and their donation has made this broadcast possible today. Please remember that you can always visit our website for materials to encourage and support you in your Christian walk. And if you miss an episode of the show, you can go to our website and download the podcast or MP3 of our broadcast. You can find more details at gncm.ca. Today I'm going to share with you a story of conversion from the Scriptures. It's perhaps one of the most important conversion stories in Scripture because for most of us who read it and listen to it today, it's a story that affects our lives directly. It's a story of the first conversion of somebody who is not a Jewish person to come to faith in Jesus Christ. You, of course, remember that Jesus Christ was born among the Jews, and he focused his mission on the Jewish people. He was there to tell his own people, the people of God, about the Messiah, to have them come to faith in him first, and then for them to carry that message to the world. And that's precisely what happened. But in the first few chapters of Acts, after Jesus has risen from the dead and been taken up into heaven, and after the Holy Spirit has descended upon the people of Israel, or the people of God who were following Jesus, the message goes out and thousands are converted. Day after day, the number of people following Jesus and believing in him as Lord is increasing, but all of them are Jewish people. All of them are people born descended of Abraham, who were raised in the worship of God at the temple in Jerusalem and learned from the Scriptures of the Old Testament, were circumcised if they were men as when they were babies, and they had always been Jews. And in fact, they considered their faith in Jesus Christ to be a continuation and a faithfulness to their Jewish heritage. But then the plan of Jesus to take the message beyond Jerusalem and Judea to the ends of the earth began to take form. Since this is a rather long scripture, I'm saving it till after we've listened to our first music today. So I'd like you to hear this song of faith, a hymn of praise, sung by the a cappella group GLAAD, Lead On, O King Eternal. And after this, we'll hear the Scriptures.
Lead on, O King.
The story I'm about to read from Scriptures is from the book of Acts, reading from the 10th chapter, verses 1 to 48. And God leads Cornelius and God leads Peter in this story, leads them on to a glorious encounter and the beginning of an incredible mission. So let me begin the reading now. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need, and he prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa and bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called 2 of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being led down to earth by its 4 corners. It contained all kinds of 4-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." Then a voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call impure that which God has made clean." This happened 3 times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of this vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped by the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, 3 men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I am the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him that you have to come to his house so that he can hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. The next day Peter started out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went along. The following day he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I am only a man myself." Talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or to visit him, but God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius answered, "4 days ago I was in my house praying at this hour, at 3 in the afternoon. Suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us.'" Then Peter began to speak. "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the 3rd day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. This is a beautiful portion of Scripture, and it represents the first non-Jew who is brought into the kingdom of God and into the family of Christ, becomes part of the church, the body of Christ. And from this beginning, the evangelism of the entire world is set out. It's set out with great care by God to make sure that the message was clear to both the Gentile and to the Jew. In fact, it's an amazing thing that this encounter happened at all. There were so many barriers to it. Cornelius was a godly man. He was not a Jew. He was Roman. And sometimes a conqueror might come in and be despiteful towards the people that he's conquered. But this Cornelius was a man who had seen something in the worship that the Jews had, in the life that they lived, and it's amazing that he saw that. We see many examples in Scripture of how difficult it could be for Gentiles and Jewish people to have a friendly relationship. Some of the people that Jesus encountered among his own people were very, very stern and strict and disdainful of anybody who wasn't Jewish. Cornelius may have encountered those people, but perhaps the faithfulness of his servants, perhaps the openness of the people of the community showed him that they were people to be respected and even to be imitated. And he had given to their causes, he had helped them in many ways, and he had shown reverence for their God. But still he knew that despite his reverence for God, he wasn't part of God's people. He probably didn't even question that, although he may have wanted it to be otherwise. He knew that God is God, and he can choose whom he chooses. And if he had chosen to minister to the people of Israel and accept them into his family. He had no reason to reject God, even if he couldn't be part of that family. He had that kind of righteousness that you don't often see. But you saw it in Job in the Old Testament. There was a righteous man who knew that God was God and God was right in his judgments, and even if he didn't understand why things were the way they were, he would still worship God. Job suffered all kinds of difficulty and harm, not only to himself but to his whole family. And yet he said, "Yet though he slay me, still I will praise him." He said, "Naked I came into the world, and naked I will leave. And how should I be ungrateful to God if any of this should happen?" Job had that kind of faith that said, even if it doesn't benefit me, God is still good. And Cornelius seemed to have that kind of a faith. And yet, God is more merciful than Cornelius expected. He was preparing to bring Cornelius and his household into the family of God. He did so by going to the leader of the Christian movement at the time. Peter was reckoned as the chief of the disciples, and if anybody else had told the rest of the Christians that Gentiles could become Christians, they might have thought the person was overenthusiastic. And even Peter needed to be convinced. He was shown a vision of all the unclean foods that Jews were forbidden to eat by the laws of the Old Testament, which we understand as the kosher laws. And we know that those kosher laws are still observed by many Jewish people today. And Peter was observant of them right to that time. But God showed him this food, and when Peter rejected it, God said, "I've made it clean. Don't declare it unclean." Before long, Peter had made the connection between this vision and the visitors that had shown up in his house, and he went into Cornelius's house and told the good news, and there God showed that it wasn't just Peter's idea to bring the gospel to Cornelius, because the Holy Spirit showed up just as it had in the day of Pentecost. It fell upon these Gentile believers, and they spoke in tongues and praised God and prophesied. And Peter said what was obvious to all the Christians in the room: can we withhold baptism from these people when God has shown his favor upon them? And so they were baptized, and they became part of the Christian church. This is such good news. And when Jesus comes into somebody's life, something changes. And I want to share with you a song by Sarah Groves that speaks about her testimony, "Something Changed," from her album Add to the Beauty.
Something changed inside me, broke wide open, all spilled out, till I had no doubt that something changed. Never would have believed it till I felt it in my own heart, in the deepest. change.
I'm so inspired by how God taught Cornelius that his grace included him, and how God taught Peter that his grace included the Gentiles. I am delighted that we can share that good news with you today, and we can say that we realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts people from every nation who fear him and do what's right. You too can turn to this God. You too can discover that his grace includes you by calling upon the name of Jesus and thanking him for the gift of forgiveness and new life. We can turn from sin and live the holy life that God gives to us. Let's pray together and ask God to continue this work in us. Almighty God, we give you thanks and praise that you saw fit to give grace to Cornelius and to his whole household, and that you have given grace to millions upon millions, even billions of people in the generations since, as the gospel has gone out to every tongue and every tribe and every nation. And Lord, we thank you that the gospel reaches us. We can hear the message, and we can ask you and receive the grace that you offer. Thank you for all of this. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, I want to thank you, our listeners, for your encouragement and support. I want to thank you once again, Allison Clifford Miller, for your sponsorship of today's program. And we want to encourage all of you to support our ministry with prayer. Pray for the people who are listening today, and pray for us as we prepare messages for the weeks to come. You can also support our ministry financially. Helping us pay the cost of broadcasting enables us to reach you and over 7,000 listeners in the Ottawa River Valley. If you make a check, you can make it payable to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to Post Office Box 184 Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0, and we'll be happy to send you a receipt and income tax time. You can also visit our website and make a donation by clicking on the donation buttons there. I also want to encourage you to tell others about this program so they too can hear the good news that is proclaimed week by week by our four hosts. Please, if you've received this message, be sure to worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. So now to conclude our program, I'd like to have you listen to a song that worships God as the one who is mighty to save, sung by Hillsong United. I do pray that the Lord will hold your heart and that you would know Jesus personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart, and may the Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying love.
Jesus conquered the grave.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.